We'd like to acknowledge that we are working on the land of the Awabakal Nation, pay our respects to the elders, past and present. We also want to acknowledge God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good evening, everyone. Yama. This is Auntie Donna, and you're listening to Miramar for Life. Thank you for your company tonight. It's going to be extra special. We do have a wonderful interview with our guest is Donald Shillingsworth, and he lives down in Blacktown, but originally from Brewarrina. And so we're going to have a conversation tonight, and he'll be sharing about Bree and then the elders that he grew up with, what it was like growing up in Bree, and then sharing his testimony of what Jesus means to him. Always something to praise the Lord for. So let's just open with Dayspring and so much to thank him for. You're listening to Miramar for Life.
When I look around and see the good things he does for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all, but his blessings he freely gives. I owe my life to him. I've got so much to thank him for.
That was Dayspring, and so much to thank you for. I've got Brother Donald Shillingsworth on the phone, and Brother Donald, I'm sure you'll agree with that song. There's so much that we can praise and thank the Lord for.
Yes, it's a beautiful song to listen to, because I've known that song for a while now after I give my heart to God. And the song that It connected me back home to my family, like Uncle Ikey Gordon, Diane Barney, Annie Heaver Barney, and Annie Mary Waits. She's my first cousin, but I call her, she's my sister, Doreen Waits.
Oh, yes. And that
connects me to Christianity, way of life, and by living it, yes. It's a beautiful song.
So great. Well, I got really excited this week, brothers and sisters, when my brother Sudi Welsh in Canamble sent me a link, and there was a video, and I heard Brother Donald's testimony. So before we go into that, tell our listeners, brother, about growing up in Brewarrina. What was that like as a child, and who's your mob?
Back then it was happy life as I was growing up as a kid, like as normal kids growing up. And yeah, growing up on a little mission at West Brewarrina, they call it Dodge City.
Yes.
But now it's better known as Bush Queen Village. Yeah. And I've grown up there for a very long time, and I have known and held her. Passed away years ago, that, you know, her name was Annie Molly Boney, or we call her Nan Molly, and, you know, she was a Christian, and that's where we all used to go and sit down and listen to the gospel or have our prayers, and, you know, she was like a mother to each and every one of us, even also a grandmother and a man also in one.
Yes.
It's just like, you know, like Mary in the Bible, when, you know, when she hands out, like, for what I seen growing up as I was a kid on Bush Queen Village. And, you know, it's just like Honey Molly, when people come there, and she used to have a bin full of flour, self-raising flour and plain flour, and she used to feed the whole mission.
Oh, yes.
And hand it out, and, you know, go back again a couple of days after, and it's full again, you know. It's just like,
It's
overflowing, and like the cup, you know, in the Bible say, once when God pours out his heart and he overflows the cups, and that's what I see now in a different vision of my old auntie Molly Boney when she used to hand out flour, because the next time you go back, it's always full again.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. So did she make Johnny cakes and fried scones?
Yeah, she made Johnny cakes, damper, scones, you name them. And she fed the whole mission.
Beautiful. Oh, so good. And I know the place.
And the mission, you know, Dodd City, better known as Bush Queen Village, it was a big mission.
Yes.
It was a very big mission. And, she fed every single one of us, our mothers and fathers and also their parents. She's had a peaceful feeling of giving to her family, not only also to her family, she gave to the people who she didn't know, you know, that's the kind of person that my auntie grew up in God.
Yes.
God way.
Yes.
And she was very strong into the Bible.
That's beautiful. And, you know, she really showed that caring and sharing nature of Aboriginal life, and also a generous heart and that gift for hospitality. Beautiful memory.
Yeah, and, you know, they are the memories that I'll always cherish when I was a kid. But today, you know, God bless Marlene, she has gone before us. And, you know, I still remember them days like today. And the sadness now that, you know, she's, no one continue, you know, the legacy what she's have on our little missions at Bush Queen Village. And for me coming, you know, down to Sydney, it's a privilege for me coming down to Pastor Michael Gurley's school, and it opens a lot of doors for me.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk about that after the break. We're just going to stop now, brother, and let's just play one of the, you know, at Sunday school we used to sing Running Over, My Cup's Full and Running Over. So let's just play that one for the children now. You're listening to Miramar for Life. We'll be right back after this song.
Running over, my cup is full and running over.
Well, we're back talking to Brother Donald Shillingsworth, and through the break we were talking about Aunty Essie Coffee, and I remember seeing a documentary when I was at uni, and the Bush Queen, and wow, she was a woman, and you know, she really showed the police, like they wanted her to go to Goulburn to do training to work with the police. And she said, no, I'm not leaving Bewarrina. You got to train me here. I want to work with my people here. And so she was so bold and so knowledgeable, such a beautiful woman. So was that your auntie?
Oh, she raised me up, and it was a privilege, you know, that they took me in, but I call her, she's my grandmother, yeah.
Right.
And for me growing up, and I had that experience being around her ever since I was growing up on Dodge City, and she was always there, not only for me, for every little child on Dodge City, you know, that she's always had a feed for all the kids and had a bed somewhere to stay nice and warm.
Yes.
And sitting around them campfires at night, and she's sharing them stories and all that there.
Mm.
And it's a good feeling when you come from a background of, you know, knowing her all my life as a grandson. Like, yeah, I worship her and also her children and other grandkids as well and great grandkids. I play a big part in that family because my mother's also a coffee too, and
wow,
yeah, she's done so many things on the Dodge City, better known as Bush Queen Village now, because she's gone and she's laid to rest in like the gates of heaven. And sometimes I always pray for each and every one of my family, especially the Coffey family back home in Bewarrina, because once she has passed away, she was a big role model for not only her children, it was for the community.
Yes.
And not only for the community, it was, you know, Australia-wide.
Absolutely. Yep. Oh, she was a mover and shaker. So I remember back in 88, the album came out, Building Bridges, and I always played Les Shillingsworth's song, Justice Will Be Done. What a beautiful song that is.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. I can still remember that night when he left, because I was only a young kid, and he left from, he was drinking with my mother, and the last time I seen him, he was standing on the corner, and when I went back in to tell Mum, we call him Crumbie. I said, Mum, Uncle Crumbie's gone, he's going home. And after that, that was the last time I ever seen my Uncle Crumbie.
Wow, yes. Well, I did.
And, you know, he was a tragedy,
yes.
What very happened? What happened to him? And he's, you know, I am a Shillingsworth. I'm very close to that side of the family.
Yeah.
And he's all these, you know, all the Shillingsworth. You know, also grew up out in Gitahooga.
Mm-hmm.
They used to call it Tin Camp back in them days.
Oh.
And, they lived out in Gania. It was a big, it touched everyone's heart because he was a lovely man that if you known him that well, and he was a loving person and kind-hearted.
Yes, I'm sure. Absolutely. Also, because I know Auntie, she lives down, Auntie Jenny, she lives down at Minto, and, you know, a beautiful, godly Christian woman.
Yeah, She's been in the Christianity life for a very, very long time. I remember when I was living at Claymore, when I'd done that clip with Pastor Michael there a couple of days ago now.
Right.
That's the one I used to go to church with.
Yeah.
Honey Jenny, when we used to live at Claymore, she's the one who, you know, because my mother and father, they used to touch alcohol and that thing, and so, you know, they had Honey Jenny come and pick us up and used to take us to church, and, you know, I still remember them days, and it's a privilege for my Auntie Jenny, because, you know, we fell off track for a while, and, you know, I learned to forgive through God.
Yes, and yep.
Yeah, that's one thing I want to tell everyone, you know, through life and experience, the people that turn away from one another, you got to learn to forgive.
Yes.
And forgive
them. Amen. Yeah.
And yes, it's.
So, Brother Donald, tell us, how did you become a Christian? What's new? What's happened in the last few months?
Oh, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling, wonderful feeling, powerful feeling.
Yeah.
And one day, like I said earlier, I was telling you about Honey Jenny, how we all lived at Claymore when we was growing up, and Honey Jenny took us to church, and so we went home and we got back to Bree Warren, and then a couple of months ago, I laying in front of the TV, and one minute I said to my wife, because the memory come back to me when I was a kid growing up, living at Claymore. And so the story is just continue getting happy and happy, because I get happy inside, and it's a joyful feeling that I have, because the things that I've struggled in life when I was a kid, and I've seen a lot of that happening in every little community.
Yes.
Where a lot of Indigenous people live. And so I said to my wife, I said, "Bub, do you believe in God?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Bub, a memory just come back. A memory just came back to me that when I was a kid, you know, he was knocking on my door."
Mm.
"And the door that he was knocking on is my heart. It's not the door which you open with the key."
That's it.
And so I rang my auntie, Honey Mary. She was where it waits. Honey Mary waits. She was the first one I rang.
Oh.
And she felt so happy inside, because she knows when I told her, I said, "Honey Mary, I am coming home."
Woo.
"Because God is knocking on my door." And she said, "Son, you want to ring your auntie, Diane Boney?"
Mm-hmm.
And so I rang Auntie Diane Boney, and I said, "Hey, Ma, guess what happened?" I said, "See, what happened not long ago, a memory come back to me when I was a kid, you know, like, God is knocking on my door, and I knew what door he was knocking on. It was my heart."
Mm.
And he said, "Son, open the front door and let him come in."
Cooey.
And I said, "Mum, it's too late. He's already in. I'm coming home."
Oh, that's wonderful. She would have been jumping for joy.
Yeah, and when I rang Auntie Evil Boney, they was happy. And then I rang Uncle Ike, you know, and before I got home to Bree Warren, God already spread that word, the gospel word, of me coming back home to rejoice and walk in the pathway of God and the Christian people, and also the Indigenous people.
Yes.
And it was the best feeling that I ever had.
Amen.
Because I felt I'm away from a background where I grew up. I've seen a lot of, you know, sometimes I still deal with some trauma the way I grew up in life around, you know, domestic violence and all this addictions and alcohol and drugs and, you know, it's a sad thing. But when you come to God, it's a different feeling because you got positive people. There's people out there that do positive things, but you feel the difference. I feel the body motion and the heat coming off people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you say something and they want to overrule you in a anger way. Because, you know, we all walk together as one in Christ. Not even, you know, also not even Christ. We all, God created every human being on this earth. And, you know, some of the things that we got to, like I pray for, it's a big thing that, you know, God has created.
Yes.
The best feeling I can say when I went home is when I grabbed my Bible and I walked down the street.
Right.
I've got a lift. I was walking down Danny Dyer, Diane Barney's place, and, you know, because Danny Heaver Barney had the key because I had to confess on a Friday at 10 o'clock. So I had to go and walk down across the paddock of Annie Dyer's from Newtown down to the paddock to her house. And I knocked on the door. I was that happy because I went there half an hour before 10 o'clock. I went there at 9:30.
Yeah.
And so one of the kids opened the door and they said, "Uncle Len's in the shower." And I said, "Yeah, tell Len I'll meet her at the church." And so then a bloke picked me up. Migo, his right name's Stephen Coffey, but we call him Uncle Migo. He's the uncle. He's the youngest of the Len Bushkoe.
Yes.
And so he gave me a lift. I jumped in with my Bible, and he didn't know what I was doing. And he said, "What you carrying that for?" I said, "Nah, I'm going to confess to God today at the church at 10 o'clock. He said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah, that's true." And, you know, the fellow I love most, and I went looking for him, and it's Norman Coffey. And we grew up like brothers, and like all my family, all the Coffey family, we all treat each other with respect and, you know, lift each other up, encourage each other to be strong, walk together.
Yes.
But and when I see Norman, I was telling my Uncle Migo when he's driving me downtown with my Bibles, and I jumped out of the car and I spoke to an old bloke, one of our elders in the community, Ross Coleman. They Rocco, Uncle Rocco, we call him, and his partner, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "How you going?" He said, "Yeah, good. When you come back home?" I said, "I come back home the other day. I'm going, you know, become a Christian. I'm going to confess to God today and give my heart to God." And he said, "Yeah, son, I done that years ago." And, you know, he telling me stories how he grew up, because he's one of the elders in the community. And so I said, "Well, I've got to go this way. It's 5 minutes to 10. I've got to go and look for Brother Norman Coffey." And no good, you know, because he plays a big part too in my life because he's my brother. He's not my cousin.
Yeah.
He, And so next minute, you know, as I was talking, and he come around the corner of the bank. And I said, "Brother, come on, I got to go to church. It's 5 to 10. He said, "Yes, I know. I'm not going to miss this one."
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, because he was there all the way,
Yes.
And that, yeah, I love him. I love all my family.
Mm.
Yeah, and especially my wife, you know, she guides me through all this and give me the courage, strength, because she also works. We have our own different lives, and, you know, she's starting to shine light, you know, become to walk with me too also.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I want her because, you know, we got married on the 17th, like, of August. And I want her to continue walking with me, you know, through God. But
yes, we'll pray for that.
Guide, you know, I can only guide her, you know. But she believes in God. Oh, that's one thing I love about her. And
yes,
no, I know it'll come, and I'll pray for it.
That's
I'll pray for it every day.
That's it. We pray for it. Yes. Well, yeah. We'll
I pray for each and every one of my family, especially at Homeway, at Brewarrina. It plays a big part of me because down here I have not much family down here, but now I've got a new family.
Yes.
I've got a new family here at this school.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, I confessed to God on a Friday, and, you know, the next day I confessed on the 4th of July, on the 5th of July, the very next day, it was a Sunday, it was cold, windy, and them 2 days, my best mate of mine drove me out there on Thursday. We got there Thursday night, and Brian Hunter, his name, better known as Tossa, he drove us, me and him went out, and he couldn't get over it, how beautiful the day was,
yes,
but Sunday morning, because it was broadcast for rain for the full weekend.
Right.
And, you know, he said to me, he said, "Buzz, it's going to rain Sunday." I said, "Brother, it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. I'm telling you, brother, I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to pray because I'm not going home to, you know, and this rain is not going to stop me. I'm going to continue doing what I'm going to do because, you know, I'm hungry for God. I'm thirsty. I want him in my life."
Yep.
And so it was windy, and then, you know, my family turned up there, and when I went into that water, it was warm. It wasn't cold.
Yeah.
Everyone had a jumper and tracksuit on. I'm the only person that had a pair of shorts and a shirt on. And when I went under that, when I went under the baptism of water, bestest feeling ever.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because Pastor Dougie Payne and Uncle Philip Sullivan, they the one who done that to me. And I asked Uncle Ike, but he had, you know, one of his family got sick. And, you know, I asked him, don't be upset because I want to keep doing it on this day.
Yes, yeah.
And so as soon as I went down into that water, it was just like a torch,
ooh,
a big bright light in that water. And I can put it in a different way too. Like, you know, when you turn the lights off in the room and you put the blanket over your head and you turn the torch on, that's how it was.
Oh.
I've seen the bottom. And when I came up out of that water, I could feel the water coming off my head like bricks, pounding off my body as I was walking out of that water.
Mm.
And when I got closer out of the water, down at the boat ramp at the bar and floor there, my last step out of that water would have my right feet. When I took that out of the river, I knew, because I felt light inside, and my mind, my heart started to hope, and I can, like, it was the glory of God, the compassionate, what I was hunger for is in his words and believing, walking in faith with him. I grabbed hold of my brother and I cried. I grabbed hold of Norman Coffey and I cried, you know, it was all my sins is gone.
Amen.
They were gone down in that river and, you know, all my sin has passed away. I became a new, I reborn again.
Yes.
In life with Jesus.
Oh, what a beautiful statement. That's so true, Unc. And then you just feel the cleansing power, you know, Jesus just cleansing all that sin, washing all that sin away. It's the most wonderful moment, hey, when you're born again.
Yes, yes. And I find it connected because when they talk about, yeah, it's talking about yourself how you're reborn again. Mm. Like when you get baptized through the holy water of baptism, it's just like your sins, everything what you received, what you've done in the past and, you know, past and present, what you've done wrong, that's gone in the past.
Yes.
Like it's passed away. But in that point, saying pass away, it's just like death.
Amen.
In the Bible when it says all things have passed away. That's death, what I see in the Bible. Like, and when they talk about walking in the light out of the darkness, and when you walk into the light, that's when you become reborn again in faith.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ. He shed the blood when he went onto the cross. He shed the blood for each and every one of us. He loved all of us. He gave his sin and the sickness so we can refill the cup of his abundance in life.
Away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is the Lord that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Oh, nothing but the blood. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
school what I attend is God has given me the, you know, God has given me to come to this school and, you know, keep continuing and continuing until I go back home and, you know, speak the word of God and become a pastor or a minister, whatever you want to call it. I can, you know, I can pray for my family that's going through sickness and pain and, you know, whatever they need, I can put my hand on them and I can pray for them, you know.
Amen.
So I don't want sadness in my family no more, because it's too many, and I want happiness back in our family's life, each and every one of them who needs to be healed.
Yeah.
And you pray for healing, healing will come your way.
Amen. Tell us about this school. What's the school called, and is this in Blacktown, cuz?
It's at Mount Druitt.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's straight above as you come down, straight above where you at the train station. It's upstairs, and, yeah, it's a good school. Pastor Michael Dooley runs it, him and his beautiful wife, Rosie.
Yes.
Good people.
Yes.
And they make you feel warm and comfortable, you know. He opened doors for anyone.
Yes.
Don't care what nationality you are, he takes them all in.
And he has done work out there at Brewarrina. But,
yeah, he was telling me he'd go out there and preach the word of God, but there's the love.
Yep.
I remember growing up, I'll tell you a little quick yarn about our elders in the community. I remember this going to a church around the Billabong. I remember Uncle Roy Barker, Honey Jern.
Yes, yes.
Uncle Chico, Honey Kitty. And, yeah, I remember all them old people. And, you know, they the ones that touch my heart.
Yes.
Like remembrance. Like they the ones that showed me a lot of ways of, you know, when I was a kid, because we'd love going to church around the Billabong. And, you know, we pulled away from it as we got older a little bit, but there I'm back in now with the word of God, and I love every bit of it.
Wonderful. And I love it, you know, when you said that you walk down the street holding your Bible, that's such a testimony. And
it was a good feeling, I'm telling you. When I walk down to the Bible, because the words already got out to the community.
Yes.
It's like, you know, when I told my auntie and Uncle Ike, Auntie Eva, Auntie Diane, Auntie Mary, the words already out there, like, God so loved the world, you know, like you don't speak the gospel.
Yes, yes.
And that's, you know, that's a powerful verse. And, you know, I before I got home, everyone knew what I was doing. Everyone knew where I was going.
Yeah. Oh, the bush grapevine, you can't beat it.
Yeah. And when I walk down the street with my Bible, I walk past people and they say, "How you going, Brother Don?"
Oh.
"How you going, Pastor Don?"
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. So every time I go home and, you know, sit down, have a yarn with the uncles and aunties when I go home, the nieces and nephews, the cousins, and they show that respect to me because, you know, we've got different lives.
Yes.
I'm a Christian, and, you know, but I've got faith in them.
Amen.
That, Yep, I've got faith in each and every one of my people home in Brewarrina. Don't matter who I walk past, I've known them, because growing up on a mission, you know, we all sat around.
Yes, yep.
Honey Mollies, we all remember our elders used to go to church, and, you know, that's the way we lived and loved it.
Yes, yeah.
We all used to get together on a Sunday, you know, go down to the Boomerang Island, Back Rock, go down the Strait, Crowley's Rock, with that river on a Sunday. I remember it. All families from all over, Dodge, Barwon, Newtown, it was full, the riverbank. You'd be lucky to sit next to someone to throw a line in, because they'll hunt you. They'll hunt you, wait, go away, sit next to me because I'm catching yellow bellies.
That sounds like community. Oh, so beautiful. Yes. Oh.
Like, everyone feeds everyone, beds everyone calls everyone.
Exactly.
It's the love in the community that we all grew up around, and, you know, we continue in that till today.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
Like, we love one another, but sometimes we have, you know, disagreement with each other, but, you know, we forgive each other. And that's what, you know, we learn to do. We learn to forgive. And share the love again.
Amen. Well, I know God's going to use you mightily. Let me tell you what happened last week, Brother Don. On Wednesday, I'd had a phone call from a dear friend, and two of her daughters were in trouble and we needed to pray. I had my nephew and his girlfriend. They'd busted up and the girlfriend went home to Gilgandra. So he was really very, very vulnerable and talking suicide. And so his sister rang me, my niece. And so I sat down and I went to prayer. You know, when you walk the floors of heaven and, you know, we take it to the mercy seat. And I was praying and praying, praying. Then I just finished praying, and my brother Sudhi sends me a text, and here I hear this testimony of Donald Shillingsworth, and I just rejoiced, because I know the only person my nephew's going to listen to is going to be you, Brother Donald, because you know exactly where he is, you know how the lifestyle he's lived, and when he looks at you, you know, a dark Aboriginal man, and that transformation, you know, growing up in community, which is beautiful, but, you know, this new road you're now walking, you know, this heavenly road, the road of holiness, I know that you're meant to be in his life. And so, you know, I said to you, God is going to use you. Our men are going to love you and relate to you. And, you know, in 12 months' time, I'll be amazed at everything that you've done. You're an evangelist, but you walk the talk. And so be encouraged. You know, this is the greatest news I've had this week. And that's why I had to speak to you and share your testimony on air here at Rema. And Brother Don, you know, we've got our brothers listening in at Cessnock Corrective Centre. Would you like to say something to our brothers that are listening in prison right now? What words of hope would you give them?
Yeah, my brothers, I can say, you know, even if you're a non-believer or a believer, you know, you just keep praying and, you know, have faith inside yourself. And, you know, if you're struggling in the system, you know, and you don't, like, can't get on to your family or can't reconnect to them. You know, it's not hard to pray. You know, God will answer his prayers. And I just want to say a little verse for you, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that goes for each and every one of you. And, you know, so what he's saying, he said, do not fear. So what's coming towards you, don't be afraid. I know you're sitting in a little cell. Once you reach out for help, it's not hard to pray. Like, whatever you pray for, answer for, he'd answer your prayers. And so good things would come to them who have patience. And by saying people who have patience, you got to have consciousness and have a clear mind and be strong inside yourself. Because once you find yourself, you know who you really are. And then that's when everything all comes to you. And it's a lot to be taking on. Like, forgiveness, you know, you ask God for forgiveness for what you have done, and, you know, he guides you through those steps. Because he doesn't want no one to feel sad and sorrows and, you know, the sickness. He wants to heal people, and he touches them with his right hand.
Oh, such a pleasure speaking with you, Brother Don. And the Lord's hand is upon you, and, you know, he's going to bless and use you mightily. We know that no weapons formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment will be condemned. And we know that power and death and life is in the power of the tongue, and you've got such a word to share, you know, with our mob and the people on the streets in Blacktown and Mount Druitt and everywhere. Thank you for your time today. I'll let you get back to class, but hopefully we'll get to meet each other at one of these rallies.
It'd be wonderful to meet you, because I know your brothers.
You know the mob.
I know the mob. And I like to say to each and every Indigenous person at the remote areas in the community, like Canamble, Wallet, Gadooga, Willamaringle, Ingonia, Burke, and my hometown, Rewarrina. You know, I pray for all of you people that's struggling, you know, and to live the happiness to the fullest. And, you know, God will answer your prayers, and God bless you all. Love each and every one of you. And no matter what state you come from, God will walk with you and he will answer your prayers.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Michael Dooley here, traveling evangelist with Miramar for Life. If you can only believe, you will receive.
I was just so blessed listening to Brother Donald, and he said so much, didn't he? So, you know, one thing that we're created in God's image. We love that. And so, you know, when we read the word, we find out our true identity, what Christ wants for us. We read in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 23, we belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. And so I just loved him sharing about growing up in Bree and his coming to the Lord and coming to faith and then seeking forgiveness and then the waters of baptism. And how good was that? I just know he's got big things in store. Auntie Betty Pike says, may you always stand as tall as a tree, be strong as the rock Uluru, as gentle and still as the morning mist, hold the warmth of the campfire in your heart, and may God, the great Creator Spirit, always walk with you and with us. You've been listening to Miramar for Life. Thank you for listening this week and share it around, Brother Donald Chillingsworth's testimony. Thank you to Peter Barlow for production, and I'm off to the Let Justice Flow conference, and I come back next week. So, brothers and sisters, activate your faith this week. And from my house to your house, we love you, God loves you, and by this love shall all men know that we are Christ's disciples, if we have love one for another. Nanda Kumba Kumba, goodbye for now.